Okay.
Tzvat. How many times do we find Tzvat in Tanakh? Where do we find Tzvat in Tanakh? It's one of the four holy cities, right? Where do we find it in Tanakh?
Yeshayahu.
I don't think so. We find it one time in Shoftim. And it just mentions as part of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. It mentions Tzvat, like it mentions every other city in terms of boundaries. Nothing holiness about Tzvat. That's it. It's a Tanakh. No famous stories, no famous Nevi'im, no famous Shoftim, no famous occurrences in Tzvat. Okay, Chazal. It must be Chazal. I mean, the rabbis, after all, during the times of the Yerushalmi, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, everyone went up north, right? So, where is it in the Talmud Bavli? Must be in the Talmud Bavli? No, we don't find it in the Talmud Bavli. Okay, fine. Talmud Yerushalmi, at least, that's where they all live. How many times in the Yerushalmi? Only one time, in Yerushalmi or Shoshana, it mentioned, it hints to Tzvat, when it's talking about that it was one of the mountains that when they lit for Rosh Chodesh, that was one of the mountains that they lit the light on Rosh Chodesh to tell the Golos that Rosh Chodesh is coming. You guys know about the fires that on the top of the mountains, all right, in different places in there. So one place by the Jordan Valley, you have Sartaba. In the north, you have Tzfat to tell Damascus and that the Golos in the north that Rosh Chodesh is coming. That's it. Nothing holiness. We saw no Tanaim that were so holy there. We saw no stories about Tzfat that were so holy. Tveria, we hear about already. Tzipori, Oshaya, all those places. Beit HaShaorim, we hear about. But Tzfat, we don't hear about in the Talmud Yerushalmi either. Where is the first time that Tzfat becomes famous? The first time that we know that there were Jews, a little few Jews here and there in Tzfat. But where is the big bang of Tzfat that it took till what time of Tzfat that it became famous? Huh? What? The Arizal, which is what times? 1490s. Right. The main time is 16th century Tzfat. 16th centuries in the 1500s. That's when you had all the big guns there. The Arizal, who you'll see that the Arizal only lived there for like a year and a half. You have the Arizal, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramak, Rav Moshe Alshech, all those people living in the same time period, and they all appear on the scene. 16th century, Tzfat, and Tzfat becomes known as the mystical city, the city of Kabbalah, the city of knowing the insides of Torah. What happened all this time? Where did Tzfat come up on the map? Not in Tanakh, not in Gemara Bavli. Mentions in Yerushalmi one place because the fire is nothing about Kedush of Tzfat. Where else did Tzfat come about? And why Tzfat and why in the 16th century? We see people moving there in the 1400s. There were Jews there in the 1200s, but very, very few Jews. Not a dominant community. What happened in the 16th century? What happened pre-16th century, I should say, that created the big boom in Tzfat? And without understanding this, but usually I wait till the tour to give this, but then no one hears anything because they're looking at this and looking at the dog that passed by and they're thinking about they're going to the candle factory and they're thinking about this and no one hears it. But if you don't hear this, this is the yisod, this is the belly of the history of Tzfat. Of what happened pre-16th century, guys? Spanish Inquisition 1492. Very good. What does the Spanish Inquisition have to do? What does that have to do with Tzfat? What happened was, right? And there's all the one, you know, 1492, right? Jews from Sfarad. It was a mamish. It was a total mashber, total breaking. Either they converted, they ran away, whatever it is, a total mashber. And you have another date, 1517. Anybody know 1517? 1517 was when who took over Eretz Yisrael, and this is very important for Tzfat. Who took over Eretz Yisrael in 1517? Which empire? The Turks, the Ottoman Empire took it over. Why is that very important? The Ottoman Empire was, at that point, was very, very good to the Jews, and opened up Damascus, which is a major place for Judaism. In fact, a lot of people from Tzfat, for whatever reason, Rav Chaim Vital went to Damascus, Rav Moshe Alshech went to Damascus. They didn't even end their lives in Tzfat, which is very... They're buried in Tzfat, their bodies were brought down, but... 1517, everything opened up. So basically, Damascus is opened up to Tzfat, and you could go through all of Europe from there. Those are the two dates. 1492 happens. You have a bunch of Jews. Imagine, God forbid, if it happened in our days. Lost, one of the strongest Jewish communities in the world of Sfarad. That was where everything for the Sephardi world was happening. Every great people, totally broken. What happens after we have a mashber? What happens when things are broken? What happens? What happens? What do you look for, guys? What's Madonna looking for now? And you can assume that her life is a mashber, that whole culture is a mashber. What are they looking for now? Huh? It's okay that I talked about Madonna. What?
Spiritual
meaning. Deep spiritual connection. So why do they find Tzfat? So I'm asking you. And that's why that is going to answer why we're starting Meiron. Why did they find Tzfat for deep spiritual meaning?
It's high up.
What?
High up.
It's high up. A lot of places are high up. Go to the Chermon for that matter. Huh? Meiron. What's in Meiron, guys? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is buried in Meiron. This is already from 2,000 years ago. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the Tanoim. But he's not just a Tana. He's one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. He was learning under Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak already. There were five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who lived after the horrible 24,000 Talmidim. Who were the five Talmidim? And they're all basically buried in the north. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, which is buried in Ein HaZeitim, right near Tzfat. Beautiful kever. What?
Rabbi Yossi.
And Rabbi Yossi. Beautiful, Micah. Five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva lived. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the famous one who said, and you'll see this on his kever, and they said, the Torah may be forgotten. He goes, Chas v'sholom, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro. The Torah will never be forgotten from the children. Quote the pasuk of Tanakh, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, as you can see in the kever itself, is Sofe Otiot Yochai. Every letter at the end of the word is Yochai. Ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, Torah will never be forgotten. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar learned in a cave for years. Exactly the whole story. That's not for now. You'll hear a lot of this on the tour. This is just a background. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ends up writing the Zohar, which is the deepest Kabbalah, the insides of the Torah, as the first Hizgalus from Torah Shabbat Peh, from Moshe. Obviously, Moshe was given all the Kabbalah, it was, as Kabbalah means, it was passed down, just like Torah Shabbat Peh. But Torah Shabbat Peh was Nigla. No one ever was Megala. The Sodos HaTorah. That was also given from Moshe at Har Sinai, just like the regular Torah Shabbat. It's also Torah Shabbat. But no one was Megala. For whatever reason, at that time period, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai started being Mizgala. Started to be Megala, the secrets of the Torah. And that's through the Zohar, which was only published much, much, much later in Italy. But that's a separate story. He breaks the Zohar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai becomes, and we'll talk about on the hike about the Kedusha. This is just to give a backdrop. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai becomes the father of Kabbalah. Tzfat becomes a place for Jewish mysticism. If you want meaning in your life, if you want to connect to something deep spiritually, sometimes people have a tough time connecting, as you guys may know. It's very tough to connect to just halacha and just. But if you go to a place where it's not just, and you learn the deeper idea about it, and for people who are lost, for generations that's lost, that's what they find. So they find Tzfat. They find Tzfat that's right near Meiron. Why do they go to Tzfat, not Meiron? To go to Meiron for that matter. Why do they go to Tzfat? We'll see on the Teal the answer. Right? We'll see on the Teal that all the water, Nachal Amud, is right near Tzfat. You want to be next to water. You want a textile industry. You want flour mills. You want to do your laundry. You want to get water. You got to live near Tzfat. Also, the Crusades, you're going to see in your tours, the Crusades already from the 1200s, they're already up on the mountain, so there's already people living there in Tzfat, so you go where people can live. But it's Samach Venira to Meiron. You'll see the whole Shabbos, you'll be looking at Meiron. The whole Shabbos, you'll be looking at Nachal Amud. I'm sorry, receive, I'm coming to an end. I didn't know it was going to take this long. I'm sorry. I'm going. So, they come for spiritual meaning, because Meiron, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's where spiritual meaning. Jewish mysticism starts there, because they're a generation of lost people, some of them, and there's one other reason, and this is where Rishi's going to talk about. In Tzfat, because many of the people who came to Tzfat were Sephardim, and they were from Sfarad, they're very sympathetic, empathetic even, maybe even some of them were part of it. By the way, there was one Sefer Torah in the Al-Shech Shul from 1434 already. 1434. That was found. It's I think they still have the Torah there. I never saw it myself. It says the Balei Tshuva. The shul is called the shul of the Balei Tshuva, and the Torah is dedicated for the Balei Tshuva. Who are these Balei Tshuva? People from around from Spain who were converting, who were leaving Judaism. They came there. So already from 1434, people started showing up in Tzfat, looking for the spiritual meaning. But there's something greater going on in Tzfat, and I think it's connected to the mysticism. But I'm not going to get into that now. Is that the rabbis in Tzfat, Yaakov Beirav, the Mechaber himself? And other Tanoim, they wanted to mechadish the Sanhedrin. Why do they need the Sanhedrin? So that's what Rishiv's Shir is going to be about. Why did they need the Sanhedrin is very, very important. Now, if you go to Tzfat and not understand the Sanhedrin, you're missing the whole. That was the whole point of Tzfat. They have Jews from Sfarad in a generation that was lost, and they're picking up the pieces, bringing back people to Torah with the Jewish mysticism, with the deepest parts of the Torah. Fortunately, now the Kabbalah has like this some weird thing or about it because people made it into a weird thing, but really, it gives us meaning in life. and it's the fundamental ashkafa of a Jew to understand the deepest parts of Torah. Not for every Jew, not for every part of a person's life, but very important to know that it exists. It connects to us something. Our generation, so we're not living in the Spanish Inquisition, but we're living in very, very difficult times. I don't have to explain that to more. So I hope that we can also find meaning in Tzfat and connect to the deepest deepest levels of Torah there, especially connecting Meiron to Tzfat. Now you understand, the whole point of Tzfat was Meiron. And the second point of Tzfat was the Sanhedrin, which I've been giving very little time to receive. So Siv will talk about Halacha Shir, about the Sanhedrin, because once again, if you go to Tzfat and you don't understand the Sanhedrin, then you're not fully understanding Tzfat. And all this background, by the way, it's just for the when you have your tour on Friday morning, we could point at a place, this is this place, and then you'll know the historical backdrop. Okay, we receive Sanhedrin.